My dearly beloved in Christ, the Sacred Heart of Jesus ardently longed that those whom he redeemed would at least console him, that they would feel and express pity for the tortures of his sacred passion and the pain caused him by the sins of mankind. For the redemption of our immortal souls, Christ drank the bitter chalice of suffering to the dregs and found no consolation. Jesus made this quite clear when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary in the 17th century and said, "Behold this heart that has so loved men. Instead of gratitude, I receive from the greater part of mankind only ingratitude. This I feel more deeply than all that I suffered in my passion. If they would return me love for love, I should think but little of all that I had suffered for them, and should wish, if it were possible, to suffer still more. But instead of love, I meet with coldness and repulses on every side, in return for all my eagerness to do them good. Do you at least console me by supplying for their ingratitude as far as you are able?" My dear beloved in Christ, devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is essentially a devotion of reparation. At Fatima, the Angel of Portugal requested reparation to God for the hatred of the irreligious, the indifference and ingratitude of sinners, and the irreverences and sacrileges that profane the Blessed Sacrament. The world is filled with pagans, heathens, skeptics, militant atheists, along with countless worldly-minded and carnal-minded people. Never before in history have there been so many sacrileges, so many blasphemies uttered against God, nor has there ever been so much contempt for his loving invitations and so great infidelity for those who call themselves Catholics. However, before we condemn others, we must examine our conscience and look at our own lives. We ourselves must implore God's pardon for our abuse of grace, for our own unfaithfulness, and our long delay in loving him. It's truly incomprehensible that despite the unique graces he has repeatedly offered to us, we are still so materialistic, so worldly, so tepid in the service of God. How patiently Christ knocks and waits at the doors of our hearts. And sadly, how often he's ignored and met with hardness. Each of the three Fatima children had a special mission in life. Lucy was called upon to spread devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Jacinta was to make sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. Francisco's mission was to make reparation and to console God. Francisco said, "Jesus is so sad because of so many sins. In order to comfort Jesus, we must never sin." One day, Lucy asked him, "Which do you like the most, to console God or to convert sinners so that they will not go to hell?" At once, Francisco answered, "I want to console God. Just last month, didn't you notice how the Blessed Virgin became sad when she said that mankind should not offend God, who is already so much offended? I want to console God first and then convert mankind so that they won't offend him anymore. What a pity he is so sad. I like to pray by myself so I can think about God, because who is so sad because of so many sins." In practicing the spirit of reparation as modeled by Francisco, one should offer up all his sacrifices with the intention of making reparation for his own sins and the sins of others. Sacrifices that seem small in themselves can become true acts of reparation because of the intention for which they are offered. The more fervent our intention, the more value our actions have to console God for the sins and coldness of the greater part of mankind. The best way we can offer reparation to God is by avoiding sin, living in union with him, and constantly striving to be his faithful and loving children. Our Lord told the penitent Saint Mary Magdalene, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Her contrition was expressed by acts of faith, hope, charity, sorrow for sins, a firm purpose of amendment, etc. Yet she was not satisfied with the consoling words of Jesus, "Your sins are forgiven." For the remainder of her life, she strove to make reparation for the sins she had committed and the evil she had done. After Christ ascended into heaven, St. Mary Magdalene lived alone in a solitary cave where she practiced acts of rigorous penance to atone for her past sins. My dear beloved in Christ, acts of reparation atone for our offenses against God and repair for the evil done. There are two results for every sin: guilt in the soul and punishment for that guilt. When we go to confession and receive absolution, the guilt of our sins is forgiven. However, the punishment due to sin is not always entirely remitted at once by God, because after the guilt and eternal punishment have been taken away by the absolution of the priest, temporal punishment very often must be undergone. Our repentant first parents, Adam and Eve, were forgiven by God, yet condemned to death and suffered many consequences. After being pardoned for their lack of faith, Moses and Aaron were not allowed to enter the Promised Land in punishment for their sins. Although God forgave King David, he was punished by the death of his son. These punishments were imposed by God as a chastisement for sin. According to the words of Holy Scripture, God demands satisfaction to atone for the temporal punishment due to our sins. The prophet Ezekiel said, "Do penance for all your iniquities." The book of Joel, "Be converted to me with all your heart in fasting and in weeping and in mourning." And then the prophet Daniel said, "Remember thou thy sins with alms and thy iniquities with works of mercy to the poor." And then our Lord said, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of penance." Christ said that we cannot be saved unless we take up our cross and do penance for our sins. "Unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish." My dearly beloved in Christ, at the Council of Trent, the benefits derived from acts of reparation were clearly expressed. Without doubt, these satisfactions greatly refrain from sin and as a kind of rein, act as a check, and make penitents more cautious and vigilant in the future. They also remove the remnants of sin and destroy vicious habits acquired by living evilly through the contrary acts of the virtues. Neither was there ever in the Church of God any way considered more secure for warding off impending punishment by the Lord than that men perform these works of penance with true sorrow of soul. It's certainly fitting that God, as legislator and ruler, should not remit offenses without temporal punishment, so that in the future his laws might be better obeyed by penitents, that others might be deterred from evil, and thus the good of society might be promoted. Finally, that the laws not only of mercy, but also of justice might be preserved as much as they can be. My dearly beloved in Christ, through sin we offend Almighty God. Through acts of penance and reparation, we make compensation for our offenses against him. St. Cyril said that sins are washed away and healed by these satisfactions. In this way, the eternal judge is appeased. In addition, penance may preserve us from sinning in the future, for man does not readily return to sins which have brought down punishment upon him. My dearly beloved in Christ, anything painful or laborious can be offered up as a sacrifice to God. "Offer it up" is a stock phrase that will bring a smile of recognition to anyone who's gone to a Catholic school. It was a little phrase that in childhood could transform anything from a lost prize or a skinned knee to a dose of bitter medicine or the teasing of a trying companion. With older years and the sophistication of our age, it's easy to forget that life's biggest, sorest, bitterest crosses can be offered up in union with our suffering Lord just as successfully as the small trials of childhood. Furthermore, they can be endured cheerfully, not just as a medical measure to help our cure, but as a coin for heaven. Acts of reparation and self-denial will not harm us if undertaken with prudence under the guidance of a spiritual director. Many of the saints who lived austere lives lived to a ripe old age. Saint Hilarion lived 80 years, Saint Jerome 100 years, and Saint Anthony of the Desert 105 years. Our acts of reparation will not make our lives miserable. On the contrary, Saint Jerome, amid his penances, seemed as in paradise. Saint Francis Xavier cried, "Enough, O Lord," in the joy he felt in penance. The happiest and most joyful people I have ever met have been fervent, self-sacrificing religious. Saint Teresa the Child Jesus said, "Since I never seek myself, I live the happiest life in the world." The three children of Fatima heeded the request of the angel and made sacrifices of all things. Their everyday actions were offered to God through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. They bore their sufferings with patience and joy. When the civil administrator put them in jail with hardened criminals, they offered their sufferings in reparation for the sins of the world. When Jacinta was enduring great agony on her deathbed, she murmured through her pain, "It is for love of you, my Jesus. Now you can convert many sinners, for I suffer much." By offering their everyday actions and their sufferings to Jesus was not enough for Jacinta, Lucia, and Francisco. They were constantly thinking up voluntary sacrifices to offer up in reparation. When they went out to tend the sheep, they gave their lunches to children poorer than themselves, and they ate unripe olives. Under their clothes, they wore rough ropes which chafed their skins. Our Lady said to them, "God is content with your sacrifices, but does not wish you to sleep with the rope. Wear it only during the day." The children of Fatima set the example for us to follow. Each of us should ask himself, "Am I making as many sacrifices as God wishes me to make?" During the summer months, my dearly beloved in Christ, God is often offended by so many trends in our secular world, including the wearing of indecent clothing, so many lustful looks and desires, so many acts of debauchery and immorality, so many evil actions, and so many sins of sacrilege, the mistreating of sacred persons, places, and things. Our Lord was very explicit when he condemned those who gave scandal, especially those who scandalize and corrupt children. "Whoever causes one of these little ones to sin, were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals. Woe to the man through whom scandal does come." My dearly beloved in Christ, concerning these verses, Cornelius a Lapide has written, "We're better to be sunk in the sea than to scandalize little ones. Because drowning is a death of the body, but causing a scandal is a death of the soul, both of your own and the souls of those whom you cause to stumble and lead into sin." Saint Jerome stated that when Jesus says, "We're better for him than a very heavy millstone, so heavy that it could only be moved by a horse," were hung about his neck. He's speaking according to the custom of the country. For this is a method of punishing very great criminals among the ancient Jews, that a heavy stone should be tied to them and then should be sunk in a very deep place. Cornelius a Lapide continues, "Great and dreadful evils, both present and future, impend over people of the world on account of God's wrath because of scandals. For they who cause others to stumble by their ambition or by the example of their evil life are liable to punishment in hell. And they who are scandalized and follow the evil example are condemned as their followers and associates, and both alike are punished and perish. The world is full of scandals because it's full of wicked people and libertines, shameless and avaricious people. In order that they may satisfy their lusts, they cause all to stumble. Therefore, the larger part of mankind is damned because of scandals. But woe to that man by whom the scandal cometh, because he deliberately and freely, in this or that particular wicked or indiscreet action, gives scandal to the little ones, and so sins mortally, and so makes himself liable to Gehenna. In closing, now is the time to attain God's mercy by our prayers, acts of reparation, penances, almsgiving, and virtuous actions. We must pray and make sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. Many people think they'll be around forever. Time is shorter than people think. Just like in the time of Noah, no one paid attention, and so many died when they least expected. After death, your soul will be immediately judged by God. Many people believe in a second chance in reincarnation. But it's a lie. As we look at the current state of the world, it's likely that all hell will break loose on the earth. Scripture foretells that Antichrist will rear his ugly head and people will bow down to the beast. Live a virtuous life. Receive the sacraments frequently and devoutly. Make reparation for sin. Practice self-denial. Be faithful to your daily prayers and pray the rosary as often as you can so you will not be deceived. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.